Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So many people are trying to get stronger so that God can use them. And the stronger you get, the least God can use you. Mm-hmm. Now you're understanding why God's using us. And when you think about it, God said to the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:9 talks about it. He said, mm-hmm. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power, the power of God. I mean, think about it. The power of God is made perfect in weakness. He says, my power is made perfect in weakness. That makes no logical sense. Mm-mm. Think about it. It makes no logical sense. And so, Paul says, well, because of this, I'm just going to boast more gladly in my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how many people try to hide their weaknesses? How many people just like, oh, I don't know if God can use me? It's like, you know, hey, that's why we post our testimony. So he's like, you need to know, man, we are totally dependent on God for everything. Yeah, we are boldly marching into this war and we're standing up for God. But God's the one giving us the victory. He's the one that's mm-hmm. moving and doing. And we are totally 100% dependent on him. At any moment, if he chooses to snatch the rug out from under us, so be it. I mean, he can. It's totally up to him. We know each breath, each step we take, you know, we're totally dependent on him. And embracing, I want to encourage you, because I'm challenging you for 2013 and this year, is to embrace weakness in 2013. I mean, you're not going to get, it's like, okay, 2013, I'm going to get strong enough to do something. No, the thing is get in tune with your weakness. Get in tune with the awesomeness of God and understanding that his power is made perfect in your weakness, to bring those two revelations together. I want to encourage you to embrace weakness in 2013, because the reality is that we can do nothing outside the Lord. But embracing this, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Right.
So how can I do all things if I can't get over this weakness in my life?
Right.
Now, this is a great revelation, because first of all, we need some help on the front lines. Yeah, we need some help. And somebody says, well, I'm too weak. And it's like, well, as long as you can understand that God can work through you and you're in tune with your dependency on God, and therefore you're not going to step outside the ranks of his grace, I mean, get on the front lines.
That's right.
That's right.
Because you know you actually have to have God. You're not going to get all spunky and stuff when you realize he's the one holding your airline mm-hmm. and you're diving underwater, right?
That's right.
Let me tell you, bro, it ain't gonna work, right?
That's right.
Somebody, you're hanging off of a balcony of the Empire State Building. Somebody's holding you by your foot. You don't yell at the person holding your foot.
Mm-mm.
Like, how you doing? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
How can I better meet your needs?
Exactly.
Right? Don't let go of my foot. And so I want to share just a personal experience about that to kind of give you some ideas, and hopefully I have time to do it, is in Hebrews 11:6, first of all, he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it's pleasing God when we begin to move in faith, which is Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. So facing your weaknesses, but yet boldly going after what God says, knowing that you can't do it outside of God, is very pleasing to God. Now, it's not pleasing to your flesh, because I'm going to tell you what happened to, you know, my flesh in regards to that, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. You know, God's, the flesh counts for nothing, Jesus said. But God began to stir my heart. God began to stir my heart sometime back, many years ago, about the fathers speaking into the lives of their children, and our father figures or mentors also speaking into the heart of the fatherless to be able to spend some time together for the sons of our particular city that we were mm-hmm. in, and to get a grid for the father and a son relationship. To get a grid for being a father, because there wasn't, mm-hmm. it's not a grid. And to get a grid for being a man. You know, what does mm-hmm. it mean? A grid is like thinking about latitude and longitude on a map. You can kind of know where you are if you just find out where other people are in the context, what God says.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this revelation that was just in me, and it, until I spoke it and began to move in it, it was nowhere. So I had nothing, no money at that particular time in regards to this word, no team, no idea how it was going to happen. And all I had to do was this unction of the Lord. And the agreement of his word in Malachi 4, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, he says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, or the children to the fathers, or I'll smite the earth with a curse. So I had the word of God just burning in my heart. And as I began to move, the team came together, things came together. But as I progressively continued in unswerving, dogmatic progression, you know, believe in God, and just even though I didn't have a grid how this thing was going to happen, you know, God provided each step of the way. Mm-hmm. It was totally amazing. I mean, there was no, we were talking about thousands of people providing food and gear and mm-hmm. wilderness experiences and all these different things. There was nothing. Right. All it was a rhema word from God. That was it.
Right.
And my first meeting that I had with people that was going to encourage me, I said, oh, here we go. We're ready to do it. What do you think? And somebody goes, well, I haven't really thought about it yet. And somebody else was, you know, it was like, oh my goodness. So I was like that keeper of this word. I mean, I had light, I had a torch, and I had to carry this thing and believe God for this thing to manifest and happen in the city. But yet I was so weak in myself. It was impossible for me to do this myself. There was no way that I could actually have done this. It was totally outside my abilities, resources, intellect, knowledge, and all that type of thing. So, but yet I went forward. I began to just progress and believe God for it. It was amazing how as I started moving forward, God would just provide this. He would provide that. He would provide key people to the point that I'm going to tell you, the people that begin to join in, but they begin to join in what I believe God for. The enemy was attacking me personally through the entire thing as I began to progress in this. If you're going to move in faith in God, what God's given you, you have to understand that you're going to have an adversary, and the adversary is going to use people, and sometimes he will actually use just, you know, fiery darts just going into you alone, you know, accusations and all these different things. But it was amazing the warfare that you had to go through to be able to believe. You thought everybody's going to join together and go, kumbaya, Lord, kumbaya. Ooh, it was like, I'm going to kill him, Lord. I'm going to kill him, Lord. And so all your, you know, weaknesses and all your inabilities are constantly before you. And but yet you're moving. You're just driven. And you don't know how this next thing is going to happen, but you believe God for it, and then God provides for it. And then you have others that are committing to things only to be used by the adversary to not deliver on things. And it was just wild to see what was going on. And ultimately, we ended up in the wilderness with thousands of fathers and sons and mentors and fatherless sons, and God showed up in a powerful way. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had in participation, I mean, there was military forces, Marines, the Navy, mm-hmm. Law enforcement, school systems, government, mentors, fatherless, fathers, sons, lawyers, every form of just amazing what took place. But it all began because, you know, I just believe what God was showing me and compelling me to do. And I stepped out not knowing how it was going to happen, but just was driven by the word of Malachi 4, 5, and 6, which is preparing the way for the Lord. And for 10 years, you know, I did this, but in the beginning it was easier as time progressed because things began to be established, but it gets established first with the word from God. But yet God's power that provided this was made perfect in my weakness. So here I am weak, and these things are impossible. The adversary continually throughout every bit of this would remind me continually that I couldn't do it. It was so amazing how he was just there. Mm. And so you imagine I have all these, you know, a thousand of folks coming to a particular place that has not yet been chosen to do a thing that has not yet manifested. So God can do what he's going to do, whatever that is. And they're going to be fed, you know, 5,000 meals in one weekend. From food coming from somewhere, and somebody's going to serve it, and all these things. And I would lay down at night in my bed, and you're exhausted because you're you close your eyes for about 5 seconds, and instantly the accuser comes right in and just hits you with everything, like bam, and all this weight of this thing would hit you. And they're coming, and they're, what are you going to do? And this is not going to happen. And mentors and food and stuff. And they're coming, and you're in that. And all of a sudden your eyes just slam open. Bam. I mean, they're like closed for about 5 seconds. And then all of a sudden he just hits you with accusations and lies, and it won't work, and this is not going to happen. And your flesh is just freaking out. Your flesh is just won't line up. It's amazing. It'd be cool if your body would line up, but it's amazing when you're pressing after God and you're doing what God says, understand, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about it in a moment, that your flesh is just, it's not going to be, you know, all happy about it.
Right.
To the point that literally that here I'm believing God and God's moving powerfully and all these things are happening, but my body, I'd get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and it's just in shock. And I just wouldn't listen to it. Right. I just wouldn't pay attention to it. I wouldn't believe the lies the enemy was saying. And I will never forget one particular night that we, it manifested just like God said it would, and led us where there's 1,000 fathers and sons and mentors and fatherless sons and police officers patrolling the area, and they're all in their tents at nighttime, and we're camping out in this region, and imagine all these people are now sleeping in their tents, and the next day has to start, and something's going to happen, and it has to be the thing that you believe God for. And I'm laying in my tent that night, and the enemy just comes in there and goes, "What are you doing? This is not a good time for this conversation. What are you doing?" And it just began to accuse, and he's thinking, "You got all these men out here. You got all these fathers out here. You got all these sons out here. The whole city's looking at this prophecy. Everything's happening. Who are you to be doing this?" And who, I mean, just bombard me all through the night. And then you just get up and you continue moving the next day in the Word. And God moves powerfully where, you know, relationships with fathers and sons are encouraged and healed and renewed and established. And the fatherless get the grid for what a father's like and that type of thing, and get a grid for being a man. And they would form this tunnel of affirmation at some point, and all the fathers would, and all these sons would come through this tunnel, and they begin to love on their son, these sons, and bless them and pray for them. And God would just swirl. His presence would just swirl. And I'm cutting this short, but understand that God's glory was so strong that a Marine's face glowed with the glory of God. That's how powerful it was. Mm-hmm. Undeniable tunnel of tears, they nicknamed it, because God's presence would fall and people would just weep and weep and weep and weep. And it was just powerful. Totally powerful, and thousands were touched through this period of time. But it all began because God laid it on my heart, and I had to believe God, and my flesh was not going to be happy. Listen, I'll tell you what separates men and boys. Let me tell you what separates girls and women's. Let me tell you what separates fathers and mothers in the faith and children in the faith. Due dates.
That's right.
You know, get a due date. Don't have one more cheerleader booster club meeting. Don't have one more, you know, get your feet on the ground and begin to believe God and put a due date, draw a line in the sand and says, "We're going to do this for God." And you'll find everything in hell. I mean, the devil hates due dates.
Right.
He hates due dates. And it was just totally amazing the things that would happen. The weather we got blamed by the weather. You know, they were calling, I can't control the weather. And so the due date, it just begins to get, it got closer and closer and closer, you know, the first one and the second one, third one. And it's amazing. Everything, I mean, raining sideways and crazy things are going on. And I mean, we had literally, you know, ministers commit to do things, and they were used by the adversary to make sure that it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to deal with this naivety of going like, ministers can't be used by the devil to affect this and then justify the very fact of not doing it. It's like, wow, so many things we learn. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of that, and it's just powerful, the thing is like, it was like a warfare to do one thing, to love on fathers and sons, to love on the men in the city, and to tell them that God loves them and God has a plan for their life too, to bring them to a place they can get a grid for Father God, a grid for fathering, a grid for father-son relationship, and just a powerful thing. But it began because, you know, I believe God. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And you guys are a testimony to just driven. I was just driven day and night, nonstop, until at that point. And it just, my drivenness was not going to be the thing that actually brought it to pass. God was going to have to show up.
That's right.
Yeah. And God honored all of our work. And I mean, we had times we had to change the date. We had thousands of signs all over a city. Right. I mean, everywhere.
Oh my God.
Thousands of signs all over a city. And something happened majorly, I believe, in the weather, which we learned to camp in the rain.
Yes.
And so we went to a sign company and got a different date done on a laminate or whatever that stuff is. We went all over the city, sent a whole team out to every single sign in the city where these signs were out. And they began to change the date on the sign. And it was so cool because people saw the sign there before, so they had to think like, wasn't that going to be this weekend? I guess it's next weekend. I mean, the things that we did, but then God moved mightily. You know, many people love to talk about logistics once the logistics have manifested. Mm-hmm. But few people would stand with me believing for God to manifest the logistics. You know, many people talked about how they were going to instruct the mentors for the fatherless, but once the mentors were actually manifested, but very few people wanted to stand with me in faith and demonstrate it by their works to go out and begin to get and believe God for the mentors. I mean, everybody's mm-hmm. like, I want to manage your people. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. You know, and, you know, I'd get up in the middle of the night and the enemy would just come in and totally attack my flesh. Listen, but God was still doing it. Listen, you can hold on despite the attacks that are coming against you physically. You'll find people that are around you. It could be your family. It could be friends or whatever who are held captive by the devil. And just like Peter was used by Satan to be able to try to thwart the plans of Jesus, they realize that because they have something in their heart that's not right, they're easily could be used by the enemy. And all of a sudden, their mouth, at the worst case time, you know, when you're believing God for this huge example for me, for this huge event in the city, that they say the darndest things, you know, and it definitely tries to turn your route. It's amazing. Yeah. It's like how many mouths began to just speak against. And because we fought and because we believe God, because we didn't pay attention to having to sleep on a root, you know, because we just did it despite what we're feeling like.
That's right.
God moved powerfully, so much so that the government came to support us.
Yeah.
All the way from Indore, India, pretty deep, heard all the way from India with World Vision, and we're in relationship even today. He's in Pittsburgh up there. And it was because that it's called faith. That's what faith. Yeah. Faith is not like going, I hope it all works out. And they're like, listen, 2013, this year is going to have to be about us willing to do the hard work, which means our flesh has to suffer while we believe God and we accompany what we're believing God with works. We're actually physically doing something, but we're trusting our faith in God. I think about it like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 12, Paul talks about this. When Paul begins to explain it this way, he says, we have this treasure. We have this treasure in jars of clay. In other words, I had this physical body that I had to believe God with this physical body present to do this awesome thing, but it was still going to be clay through the whole process. It wasn't going to, like, all of a sudden I'm going to morph into some sort of, you know, superhero, and then I'm going to have this armor on me and my flesh is not going to feel something. Think about it. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And so God was going to use me, a weak, flawed person, and a lot of other people begin to join us to be able to show himself mighty. But it took us and our willingness to die to ourselves, to feel the uncomfortableness. And it was amazing that your body just wanted to stop. Yeah. And then he says this. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side. My flesh was hard-pressed on every side. I mean, there was no piece of my flesh that was not pressed. He says, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. It was amazing that I'm alive. It's amazing that we're alive.
Absolutely.
You know, and he says, but not crushed. Perplexed. I mean, perplexing was like constant, you know. Every single thing. What are we going to do? I mean, what are we going to do here? How are we going to do that? We're just perplexed. But not in despair. You know, God will work this out. Persecuted, oh my goodness, you wouldn't think, you know, persecuted but not abandoned. God stuck with us, struck down amazingly when you wanted his own, struck down but not destroyed. He says we always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus. When we're feeling all that physicalness and all that pain, your body just hurts sometimes because the enemy's just pressing you and pushing you and your body's freaking out and is acting all weird and stuff. Listen, you're feeling the death of Jesus. You're feeling, you're empathizing with what Paul says. Listen, everything I've ever done, I consider dung, except for knowing him and the fellowship of his suffering. Listen, we need some people who are going to believe God in 2013 for the church to rise up, to do what it's called to do, to make God's manifold wisdom known in the heavenly realm. And listen, your biggest persecutors are going to be the religious who say, no, we don't want to go with God. We don't want to do what God says. We don't believe that. And they want to hold you captive. But listen, we got to go after God. It's going to be tough on your flesh, but it's going to be great on your spirit. And he says, we carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. So literally what happens, even though that's going on, it's God that gets revealed through our clayness. in our clay vesselness. It's like God moved mightily, and we had to actually do that for him to move like he did. And so he was revealed in our bodies because of what he did. For we who are alive, he says, are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is in working us also. What am I saying? I'm saying, listen, it's time to walk into the fire this year.
Right.
Listen, practical experience. I have a lot of training. Cool. You'll live. Jesus is the fourth man in the fire. And if you don't, you'll be with him and it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to walk into the fire and realize that God's power is made perfect in your weakness. I want to be able to continue that train of thought where we were just on, just to understand how important it is. If we're going to walk in the fire, that moving in faith, you know, God's power is made perfect in our weaknesses, that it's going to take us getting out and moving. You know, if you walk into the fire, it's actually walking into the fire physically, going and doing and going into the consequences of making those type of decisions. But Jesus told us, listen, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, if you just have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can move mountains, but it has to be accompanied. You have to actually do something.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do, the whole thing is, this is where the churches, we've gotten really good at the hear thing, but that we're not doing what we're hearing. And it's not that we didn't have that kind of faith. Hey, I can hear it. We got to begin to have faith to hear it and to do it. And that's when the test comes in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the testing of your faith. I mean, you think about it. If you believe the chair will hold you, you sit in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that God will provide for you, you're faithful in giving him his tithes and the offerings. If you believe that God heals those who are sick, then you lay hands on people and you pray for them. If you believe a car has brakes, then you drive it. If you believe that God is not a man that he would lie, or the Son of Man that he would change his mind, then you are excited about finding about what this God who doesn't lie has to say, and you want to get into his word and you want to hold on to it and believe him for it. Listen, faith without works is dead. I had to not only believe God, but I had to go do what I believe God for. And I couldn't hope. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And you have all those people who operate off what they see, and their mouths are going to be used continually to kind of get you to explain the second story when you haven't even built the first story yet. And it's like, just follow God,
right.
You know, just follow. And listen, if it was your vision in the first place, then you would be actually explaining it. Since it ain't, you need to follow the leader, because that's what God does. It's all around the land. That's what he does. That's just how he does it. Believe me, if you ask the leader, they wouldn't mind it being some other way. 1 Corinthians says this, and I want to be able to close this train of thought out understanding this. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29, Paul's talking. He says, brothers, think of what you were when you first were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, and not many were influential. Not many of you were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before him. Understand this. Listen, you should meet those standards. This is who God, they described George Washington's army as a ragtag army. But listen, God took that ragtag army, and we're living, you know, 230 something years later in a nation that they fall for.
Mm-hmm.
Over
mm-hmm.
and over again. It's about who's on your side. The 300 members in Gideon's army. What did God do? God turned the heart of an entire nation back to him. It's not just enough for you to believe God. You're going to have to be a doer of what you believe. You have to step out. Even though you can't actually articulate the next step, you know what God said. You know what you're believing God for. And if you want to believe God for the third great awakening, we're believing God for a third great awakening. Join us. It's time to take America to the wilderness and introduce them and get a grid again for Father God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.